Grade 1 Conference, Lecture 10, The Four Temperaments, Part 6. Now we'll talk about meeting the phlegmatic child, but before I speak about that child specifically, just something else of help to you in a general way. Think about once every 2 weeks, let's say, dressing like a choleric, that you dress in an unusual combination of clothing. It may not be to your liking, you know. You're doing it for the child. You can tell your colleagues in advance. They shouldn't be shocked if you're in some strange and not even particularly attractive looking combination. But so that the choleric can see you in a different way. Once every couple of weeks, and this is regardless, obviously, of your own particular temperament and proclivity. You may already be doing one or another or several of these, but let's say again, once every couple of weeks, dress like a sanguine, you know, really fashionable, designer clothes, maybe heels, if for women, I don't know, maybe a really nice tie for a male, even if your school would never dream of asking you to dress that way, so that the sanguines can see, wow, he really cares about his clothes. That's a nice tie. That's a nice color. I should mention that I travel a lot from school to school, and most Waldorf schools today, the teachers never wear ties. Almost never, anyway. I'm always getting comments on the ties that I wear, how cool they are, how nice that is. What's on that? And they're not really that cool or nice, but they're so unusual. And it's often going to be the sanguine children who make that comment. Once every 2 weeks, get out those sweats and dress like a phlegmatic, or at least wear something a little more formless and greenish, grayish, brownish, if you can, and let the phlegmatic see you looking really comfortable. I don't mean, you know, pajama party comfortable, but just again, that you're perhaps you're a person who likes things a little more on the tailored size. You don't do that at all. So you may have to go out and, you know, search in consignment shops or something to find these clothes. And then, of course, here's the tough one. Once every now and then, wear black. Wear black so that the melancholic can see what you look like in black, or at least dark purple. And of course, you know, it's good if you let your colleagues know this well in advance, what you're going to do, because that may ruffle some feathers, as they say. But it's a good thing to do. And I'll mention with the phlegmatic child, it's a good thing that where you really will meet that child is not going to be in main lesson. I mean, of course, they're going to get a lot out of what you have to give. But the real deep meeting for the phlegmatic is lunchtime. Snack time's a little too fast, but lunchtime. If you make a big point of eating your lunch slowly and with relish and maybe commenting on it. So at that time of day, lunchtime, you could say, don't worry about the other three temperaments. They'll take care of themselves. But now and then, if you can, show the phlegmatic child that you appreciate the finer things in life, that is good food and plenty of it, as much as he does, and that will really mean a lot to him. Other aspects of our meeting the phlegmatic child, the handshake in the morning, you know, you'll find often the hand is a little bit limp. Usually it's warm. It's often kind of large. Phlegmatics often have larger hands and larger feet. Like puppies in a way, you know, you realize they're sort of going to grow into that later on. But here, that handshake is really important because you want to give that phlegmatic a spark of your own nature, without saying, "Kai, wake up, come on, let's get ready," but rather speak slowly, "Good to see you today. Oh, that coat is such a nice shade of green." Slow voice, but a good firm handshake. Hold their hand a little longer than you would the others. You know, they need time. Phlegmatics are the gift of time in the class. And, you know, use the time that you have for every encounter with a phlegmatic. Use it well. And let time slow down in a way. They're still living a little bit in the kindergarten realm of time. The phlegmatic can be a year behind the other children in relationship to time. You know, how quickly things have to occur, or how things may have to occur one after another. You have to give them leeway. And to say something like, "We have, you know, 5 more minutes," is not going to work in the same way. Though, I will give you some advice about this right now, and this is transferable to the parents as well, because they may say to you, "You know, I'm sorry we were late. He just can't get started. He's, you know, putting on his sweatshirt for half an hour, and then he's lost this, or he has to find that, or he forgets he's going to school today." And what I would do, for example, I'm you know, exaggerating slightly, but it can almost go this far, that let's say the children are doing their main lesson books. Let's say that's the last thing they do, though you probably don't want that to be the last thing. But if it were, they're working on their main lesson books. So they've gotten their crayons, they're working on the books. You're going to give them 20 minutes, let's say, to work on the books. You don't want to push it too long in the early days of first grade. After 5 minutes, you go over to the phlegmatic children, and say, "We're going to be putting our crayons away soon. You know, get ready. In a while, the crayons have to go away." And then you just move on, or you help them more with their drawing. 5-10 minutes later, go up again. "It's almost time to put our crayons away. You know, you have a lot of crayons out. Start to put them back in your box." They probably won't actually act on any of those. It's almost time. But it will make them less sluggish and less stubborn, for stubborn is a very big part of the phlegmatic character. It will make it easier for them to move when they have to move. But you can't expect them to respond like the rest of the class. "Boys and girls, it's time to put our crayons away," by which you mean they have 1 or 2 minutes to do it. No. One command like that is not going to hack it with a phlegmatic under most circumstances, even in emergencies. I mean, the fact that we have fire drills, or you might have earthquake drills or tornado drills or whatever, you know, those drills are as much for the phlegmatic child as for anything else, because they need to get this sort of thing in their habit body. You know, even if the alarms are ringing and the teachers are pulling everybody together, the phlegmatic is very, very slow to respond. This can be a good thing. It can be a very healthy thing, actually, in certain circumstances. And it helps make the phlegmatic a kind of anchor in the class. They're not as easily distracted. They're not as easily pulled off in one direction or another as other children will be in the class. But nonetheless, you know, this is something that you want to little by little change, so that the phlegmatic is more on the same clock time as others in the class. But it's slow going. Phlegma is inherently resisting change, and so the phlegmatic temperament is slow to change as well. So have a different sense of time. Have a sense that even with your slow voice and gradual approach to the phlegmatic, that you are again and again making a spark kind of appear within them. And, you know, the water in their nature is going to extinguish that spark almost as quickly as it appears. But little by little, you want to affect a kind of drying that can occur there. And it's also important for us to know that the phlegmatic child wants above all to be comfortable and wants to be comforting others. As I said, not in the with the intensity of the melancholic, but the phlegmatic child, when they see somebody unhappy in the class, someone crying, it's not unusual that they will open up their lunchbox, the most sacred possession, most valued possession that they own, and offer something to their classmate. That's a very big deal. Phlegmatics don't part with food very readily unless there's a fair trade involved. You know, my seaweed flakes for your Doritos or something like that. But you'll see this. They don't like to see other people unhappy, and they don't like to see other people uncomfortable. You know, they want everything to be like a serene surface of a pond or a lake, that it's just all even, you know, finding its own level, and all is well with the world. And you'll also see that the phlegmatic, though they seem to be quite asleep, or at least in a fairly deep dream many times, they are actually, like a reflective pond, they are reflecting inwardly everything that's going on around them. When they do choose to say something at home about the school day and what it was like, they will give their parents a detailed, you know, step-by-step rendition of everything that you did, everything that you said, what direction you moved in. So you see, because again, it's the etheric living in the etheric and the phlegmatic, those memory forces can be very, very powerful. They're very powerful, but they're also very deep. So you will find sometimes that you ask a question, let's say, about something in second grade, about a saint story, and the phlegmatic will start giving you an answer, and you realize that was a fairy tale that we heard about 9 months ago in first grade. That was something that we talked about, you know, you ask them a question in third grade. That was something we talked about in second grade. There can be 9 months to a year for the phlegmatic child to be able to process memory. So this is something you need to be aware of in terms of review. When you're reviewing stories, not all children are able to review, to respond, to remember in nearly the same way. The temperament colors the memory forces. But when a phlegmatic does recall something a year or two or 10 later, it's often very vivid and very, very strong. And when they go outside with the others, and they will often be the last children outside for recess because they eat so slowly, and you can't really do a whole lot about changing that. You shouldn't, because their whole digestive system simply needs more time. There's a slower metabolic rate there. So they go out later. It may be that the children are already involved in a game, and, you know, unless you're there to tell them, invite your, you know, classmate in, they might not, and the phlegmatic is just sitting there watching. Doesn't seem to mind that at all. Everybody comes back into the classroom. Maybe it's a spring day. They're all sweaty and red-faced and so on, and wiping their brows. Can I have water? I'm dying. It's so hot. And the phlegmatic comes in last, the last to appear at the game and the last one to come in. And the phlegmatic, who's been sitting watching the game, wipes her brow and says, I'm so tired. We were playing so hard. That was such a hard game. And you realize the phlegmatic, sort of their loose astral body, was taking part in the whole thing, even as the rest of them was just sitting still. So they take on a very strong part in classroom activity, often without moving a finger. And we also see here in the phlegmatic, because again of the strength of the etheric forces, a strongly imitative quality as well. So they will often do poems beautifully, movement games, as long as they're not too vigorous. And when you do your class plays in the primary grades, they will be wonderful. You know, you will teach them the gestures, the movement to accompany the lines, and they will be very, very active and very engaged in that. You'll see how strong that is. So these are aspects of meeting the phlegmatic, and as with the other temperaments, we'll be coming back to temperamental responses to a whole range of subjects and activities that we take up in grade 1.